full tuition and living expenses and fees. We covered for students from families earning up to $175,000. So to make sure that students, regardless of family income, can afford to attend. Oil prices fell 83 cents a barrel today in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
You're listening to Kansas Public Radio. A strong thunderstorm will be affecting eastern Neosho County for about another 15 minutes. Doppler radar tracking a strong thunderstorm over St. Paul. The thunderstorm was nearly stationary just about 10 minutes ago. Wind gusts up to 55 miles per hour. Torrential rainfall with this storm. If you are in Parsons, Erie, St. Paul, Lake Parsons, or South Mound, be aware this thunderstorm is headed your way.
Support for KPR comes from First Presbyterian Church at 2415 Clinton Parkway, Lawrence, with in-person services every Sunday at 10:30 or virtually on YouTube. Information at firstpreslawrence.org.
It's 86 degrees in Lawrence, 87 in Manhattan, 86 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
With NPR's Anas Baba in Gaza.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay tuned. Coming up in just about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines. Before we get to 7 o'clock, conversation with Adam Smith. No, not that Adam Smith. Not doing a seance. We are speaking with House Representative Adam Smith. He is on the House Armed Services Committee. He came out today saying he doesn't think Joe Biden should run for president again. He is a very high-profile Democrat, and we are going to speak with him. It has nothing to do with the wealth of nations. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, providing Lawrence and surrounding communities with yoga instruction by Iyengar yoga instructors since 1999. Class schedule and registration information at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
Lows only getting down to the mid-60s tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and humid. Highs in the lower 80s. Mostly clear tomorrow night. Still humid. Lows in the mid-60s. Highs in the upper 80s on Wednesday. Right around 90 on Thursday and Friday. Into the mid-90s for Saturday and Sunday. Wouldn't be shocked to see them issue a heat advisory because lows over the weekend won't dip much past the mid-70s. So not a lot of time for recovery. Take it easy this weekend. Make your plans now. It's 86 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Olathe, 88 in Emporia. The time is 6:20.
Inspire new generations. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer is your local host.
Support for KPR comes from KTWU, Channel 11, local public television, where arts, entertainment, educational, and informational programming is offered daily. Details on the web at ktwu.org. KTWU, Channel 11, local public television.
News headlines coming up next. It's 88 degrees in Emporia, 88 in Abilene, 86 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
Among Republican respondents. On Wall Street, stocks finished mixed today. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. CanCare, the Kansas Medicaid program, has received a $2.5 million federal grant to enhance health services in schools. Bobby Graf Hendrickson, the state's deputy Medicaid director, says the grant will ultimately bring more Medicaid-covered health services into Kansas schools.
That's going to help the parents not have to take off of work to take the child to get another appointment outside of the school day when the child could be receiving that service within that school time.
State officials said expanded mental health services will be among the offerings at school buildings. Graf Hendrickson says the state plans to survey schools, teachers, and parents sometime this fall to get their input. A search is underway in northeast Kansas for a missing Native American man. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation says foul play is suspected in the disappearance of 36-year-old Cameron Shoptees of Blue Rapids in Marshall County. He was last seen the night of July 4th. Kansas Public Radio is planning to perform maintenance on its tower in Lawrence this week. That will require FM 91.5 and FM 96.1 to go off the air for a period of time. KANU is the station based in Lawrence, and it will go off the air for part of the day tomorrow and all day Wednesday. So that is July 9th and 10th. Tower crews will be performing service work to the station's antenna. Affected communities include, but are not limited to, Lawrence, Topeka, and parts of the Kansas City metro area. Maintenance was originally set to take place today, but due to staffing delays, the work has been pushed back to tomorrow and Wednesday. Other KPR stations, those in Emporia, Manhattan, and Chanute, should not be affected. Remember that listeners can always tune in KPR and KPR2 online at kansaspublicradio.org or by using the free KPR app. Mostly cloudy skies in the forecast tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny tomorrow and humid with highs in the lower 80s. More humidity tomorrow night with lows only getting down to the mid-60s. It's 86 degrees in Lawrence and the time is 6:35.
It's NPR News.
Hi, it's Steve Inskeep. There are many ways to make mornings more interesting. You could set a festive new alarm ringtone, wake up on the wrong side of the bed on purpose, put hazelnut spread on your toast, sing all the parts to your favorite musical in the shower. Edelweiss, Edelweiss. And after the applause dies down, you can listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition comes your way 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow here on your KPR stations. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Always online, streaming both KPR1 and KPR2 at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the National World War I Museum and Memorial, a Kansas City destination site offering visitors one of the most diverse collections of World War I artifacts in the world. More information at theworldwar.org.
Stay with us. We still have a bit of All Things Considered left to come. We are with you till 7 o'clock tonight. If you're joining us on KPR One Station, stay tuned for classical music with Destiny tonight. She's got a big slate of Beethoven lined up for you, plus I'm sure others. It's all followed by the jazz scene with David Bassey. If you're joining us on KPR Two, stick around for This American Life.
Support for KPR comes from the Merck Co-op, offering fresh, local produce, meat, and eggs, all produced within 200 miles. Learn more at themerck.coop.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, lows in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and humid, with highs in the lower 80s. Still humid tomorrow night, lows in the mid-60s. Got a feeling I'll be saying that a lot in the coming weeks. Still humid. It is 86 degrees in Lawrence.
Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. And from the Nature Conservancy, working across oceans and isles to cut carbon emissions, protect lands and waters, and support local communities for a future where people and nature thrive. Nature.org/solutions.
Hi, I'm Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv, Ukraine. Wherever the story takes us, NPR does whatever it takes to get the story right. This is NPR.
Proud to be your NPR station. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library and the Summer Book Sale, July 12th through July 14th at the Library Garage with books, CDs, DVDs, and more. Information is at lplks.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines coming up next, followed by Stardate. Then Destiny is your host for 2 hours of classical music. Be hearing the Prometheus Overture of Beethoven tonight, also Beethoven's Pathetique Sonata, and much more. We do have a schedule change over on KPR2. We used to carry on the media. Now, at 7 o'clock tonight, you can hear This American Life. If you're a big fan, guess what? It's now on KPR2, 7 o'clock Monday nights.
Support for KPR comes from Woodhaven, Inc., manufacturing custom deck and siding solutions using sustainable woods and powered exclusively by wind energy. Located in Perry with shipping available to the entire KPR listening area. Details at woodhavenproducts.com.
It's 86 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Joe Biden continues to say he's not going anywhere, essentially defying members of his own party to challenge him at the Democratic National Convention next month. Biden was in Pennsylvania over the weekend, called into a morning talk show today to say he didn't care how many so-called big names in the party urged him to drop out of the race. He said he intends to stay till the end. Because Claudia Grisella says for now some of those big names are publicly standing with the president.
We're seeing Democrats generally in safe blue districts defend Biden. That includes Florida Democrat Frederica Wilson, who put out a scathing statement. She said, quote, any leader calling for Biden to drop out needs to get their priorities straight and stop undermining him. She said, stop listening to the political pundits and focus on what's at stake.
NPR's Claudia Grisella. Louisiana's new law requiring the Ten Commandments be displayed in public school classrooms is facing another legal challenge. Matt Bloom from member station WWNO reports opponents are asking a federal judge to block it.
A group of nine Louisiana families, along with the ACLU and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, filed the request for a preliminary injunction. Attorney Alex Luchinitzer says they hope to block the new law from taking effect before the new school year starts in the fall.
It egregiously violates the religious freedom of public school children and their parents, and it's a blatant violation of the separation of church and state.
Supporters of displaying the Ten Commandments, including Louisiana Republican Governor Jeff Landry, have said all schools must comply by January 1st of next year. A judge is expected to review the request for an injunction later this month. For NPR News, I'm Matt Bloom in New Orleans.
Tens of millions of people are under heat advisories across the U.S. NPR's Nathan Roth says the heat is breaking records and fueling dangerous wildfires in the West.
Las Vegas, Nevada hit a record 120 degrees on Sunday, one of many temperature records to fall over the weekend. And the National Weather Service says more could fall in the days to come. The scorching temperatures are drying out vegetation and contributing to wildfires in a handful of western states, including California, where a fire burning in the mountains north of Santa Barbara has become the biggest wildfire in the state so far this year. Fire officials say the high temperatures are complicating firefighting efforts. Several air tankers and helicopters have been assigned to the blaze, as well as hundreds of wildland firefighters. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
Stocks bumped to a mixed close today with both the NASDAQ and the broader market continuing their record run-up, though blue chips lost ground. Traders, meanwhile, awaiting some key second quarter earnings numbers due out this week. The Dow dropped 31 points today to 39,344. The NASDAQ was up 50 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR and the Tiny Desk Contest comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. Capital One is proud to support NPR Music and the Tiny Desk Contest. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Here for you for 71 years, we are Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate July 8th. If astronomers at the star Regulus could pick up radio broadcasts from Earth, right about now they'd be hearing something like this.
The Nazis are now calling themselves werewolves. They're worse than that.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt lies with the problems of the nation. Finally lifted from his shoulders, stricken
late this afternoon. Truman, who today became the 32nd President of the United States at one of the greatest moments in world history.
They'd just now be hearing about the final days of World War II because Regulus is a bit more than 79 light years away. That means it takes more than 79 years for light, including radio waves, to travel from Earth to Regulus, or from Regulus to Earth. So the light we see from Regulus tonight actually left the star in 1945. And if anything dramatic were to happen to the star tonight, we wouldn't know about it until 2103. 79 light years is a huge distance. Light travels at 670 million miles per hour. That means Regulus is almost 500 trillion miles away, a 5 followed by 14 zeros. Such vast distances make many people skeptical that we could ever have a chat with another civilization. It might take generations from the time one side said hello until the other could respond. So someday we might hear a broadcast from another civilization, but we'll probably never become best buds. Look for Regulus to the upper left of the moon in the evening twilight, a close neighbor that's not close enough for a neighborly chat. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Thank you.
Beethoven's Creatures of Prometheus Overture here on KPR. That was with Monica Huguet conducting the Hanover Band. Hello there. It's Monday. I am your host, Destiny. Thank you for being here with me for Evening Classical. I've got an hour of really interesting music for us. I'm excited about this because I'm basically using my inspiration that I received from Beethoven and his Creatures of Prometheus to inform this entire hour. If you know anything about the Creatures of Prometheus, there are quite a few characters in it. There's Apollo, there are Muses, there is Bacchus, the god of wine. We are going to hear from Apollo at around 7:18 with something by Mozart. It's going to be really interesting, I promise. It's short and sweet. As far as Muses are concerned, well, the closest thing I could come up with to fit this theme was a waltz. Musetta's Waltz. Oh, boo! Bad joke by Puccini. Forgive me. It's Monday. I thought we could use a waltz to get us in a good mood for the rest of the show, though. So I think this will be a joy. Thank you for putting up with my terrible jokes as we listen to this together right now on KPR.
Thank you.
there we go. Now I'm in a Monday mood. Puccini's Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme. That was with Barry Wordsworth conducting the BBC Concert Orchestra. I hope you liked it. We are talking about muses and Apollo and Bacchus, the god of wine, all inspired by Beethoven's Prometheus Overture. So at around 7:22, guess what we get to listen to? Something about Bacchus. Of course. This is very fun. It's like a fairy tale adventure that we get to go on together. But right now, we are going to take a step back in time before Puccini and go back to Mozart, because he wrote an overture titled Apollo at Hyacinth. And speaking of early, he was 11 when he wrote this. Now, I know Mozart wrote quite a few things when he was young, and I've listened to many a Mozart, but of all the overtures, I had not heard this one. It's short and sweet. Let's see what you think of it right now on KPR. Wow, what were you doing when you were 11? Composing overtures? Like we just heard on KPR by Mozart, his Apollo at Hyacinth Overture with Barry Wordsworth and Capella Istropolitana. Very impressive. At 11, I was probably busy playing video games instead of forming my young musical brain, which I should have been doing. I really should have practiced my scales more. Alas, that's okay. Here I am playing great music for you on the radio. Mozart is definitely a genius. And you know who else I think is a genius? Beethoven, of course. So since we opened the hour with Beethoven, we will be closing the hour with Beethoven at around 7:40, one of the most famous piano sonatas. You know, that Beethoven, he was a big fan of Bacchus, the god of wine, and Beethoven referred to himself as the god of music. So right now we are going to hear about Bacchus. This Bacchus is Atarion. Suite number 2 by Roussel. It's a lovely story. Essentially, the beautiful maiden receives a kiss from Bacchus and new life forms, and they celebrate with wine. Please enjoy it. Right now on KPR, it's with Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Bacchus Atarian here on KPR by Roussel, Eugene Ormandy, and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Bacchus, the god of wine. Speaking of wine, you can get some at the Green Lady Lounge. They are one of our supporters here on KPR, and they feature live Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information is at greenladylounge.com. And you listeners are also our biggest supporters, and it's because of you that I try and program things that I think you will like. So I am giving you Beethoven's Piano Sonata number 8. One of the really famous ones is coming right up. But first, I just want you to know that if you contribute $5, $10, or $15 a month to us, it's to you, but to us it's huge and it makes a big difference. Your sustaining gift combined with those of all the other members who do so adds up to a big impact over time. You know how budgets work. If you take about $5 out of your budget for a cup of coffee at the end of the year, it's a big number. Well, we think we're more energizing than a cup of coffee. That's my saying. It's really cheesy, but thank you for humoring me. Anyhow, your impact turns into inspiring stories and ideas and community connections and my terrible jokes. Please sustain the future of excellent radio. Please donate. It takes just a few minutes at kansaspublicradio.org. Thank you. And for all of you wonderful supporters out there, it is the Pathétique Sonata. Yes. Piano Sonata number 8 by Beethoven, right now on KPR with Elizabeth Rich on piano.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a lovely Monday evening, everyone, here on KPR. Keep on listening. Classics Live is up next. That was the gorgeous Pathetique Sonata by Beethoven, Sonata number 8, with Elizabeth Rich on piano. I hope your Monday has been great. I am back tomorrow with more music for you. But like I said, Classics Live is up next. Keep on listening here on Kansas Public Radio.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. Just, I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential one.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Fadel from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
It's Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Hello and welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we have an interesting Rule Joyce recital. Two violas. There's actually a little bit of music written for the two string instruments together. We'll hear Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour as the two violists. We'll tell you more about Shelley after the music, but the violist Jesse Kione Yukimura joined the Kansas City Symphony in 2018, and we can be glad this curious musician is in our community. An indication of that curiosity is that when he went to Oberlin College, he earned not only a music degree in viola performance from the Oberlin Conservatory of Music, but also a bachelor's in chemistry from Oberlin College. He also holds a Master of Music degree from Lynn Conservatory of Music, as well as a professional performance certificate. When he plays in a variety of ensembles, he has always been a supporter of modern composers. But for this Classics Live, for this Rule Joyce recital, you'll hear some composers from long ago, as well as something modern. Jesse also has a long list of accomplishments, including Viola Fellow at the New World Symphony in Miami Beach, a number of summer music programs in several spots across the country, and as soloist with the Oberlin Contemporary Music Ensemble and the Lynn Philharmonia. We're here in the Midwest Trust Center, Polsky Theater, at Johnson County Community College for this Rule Joyce recital featuring violists Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour. They begin with a three-movement duet for two violas by Carl Stamitz.
Piece on the program is the Lament by Frank Bridge. Now, Bridge was a British composer who wrote this piece in 1911-12 for himself to play along with Lionel Tertis, and I think really showcases the viola sound. So I hope you enjoy Frank Bridge's Lament. Next on the program is a set of seven selections that we made out of Béla Bartók's 44 duos, which were originally composed for two violins. Now, Bartók was a Hungarian composer and is well known for his fascination with folk music, particularly of that of the Balkan region, and he incorporated stylistic and rhythmic and harmonic elements from that music that he studied into the classical music that he wrote, and particularly so in these duos. Now, you may notice that like the bridge, Bartók uses a lot of double stops, although in this case, it's actually to create a type of drone, and this implies folk instruments like the hurdy-gurdy, which has these drone strings that sound underneath the melody and create an effect like bagpipes. And actually, there is a duo, although not one of the ones that we're playing, that Bartók titled Bagpipes. So out of this folk music, we have, for example, the last movement, Ardeliana, which is the name of a type of dance from Romania. We have the Ruthenian dance as well, which is based on music not actually from the Balkan region, but from what is now parts of Ukraine and Belarus. Now, William Primrose, who arranged these duos to be played on viola rather than violin, like Lionel Tertis, who I mentioned earlier, was hugely important in the history of the viola repertoire. He grew up right in the middle of that British viola renaissance and came to be known as arguably the best violist in the 20th century. So you can imagine many composers composed for him as well. And he did many, many arrangements like these that we're about to play. So I hope you enjoyed these seven duos from Bartók's 44 duos.
Thank you.
The final piece on our program is the Sonata Opus 3, Number 3, by Jean-Marie Leclerc, or as we like to call him in the U.S., Leclerc. Now, this piece is basically saving the best for last. Shelley and I made this selection first and formed the rest of the program around it, so we're very excited to play it. Now, Leclerc, this piece was also, like the Bartoks, written for two violins. So we'll be playing it. It was originally in D major. We'll be playing it transposed down a fifth in G major. The term sonata in the Baroque era meant something a bit different than what it meant even 50 years later. So for me, this piece is much more like the solo violin sonatas by Johann Sebastian Bach than, for example, the Mozart violin sonatas or anything that came after that. So it's in four movements like the Bach sonatas. The first is a short sort of overture or prelude, followed by a very challenging fugal minuet, then a slower saravand third movement, and finally a gigue final movement, although as you can see in the program, Leclerc himself only actually titled the last movement. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. It's been our pleasure to play all this great music for you. Thanks also to Doreen for inviting us here. I know there are more great concerts coming up in the series, so I hope you check those out as well. But for now, please enjoy the Sonata Opus 3, Number 3 by Leclerc. Thank you.
Sonata, Opus 3, Number 3, by Jean-Marie Leclerc, for two violas in this Rule Joyce recital, featuring Jesse Yukimura, violist. He is a violist in the viola section of the Kansas City Symphony. And the second violist, Shelley Armour, is an avid chamber orchestral and new music performer. She was featured as a fellow with the Dali Quartet International Chamber Festival and violist at the Bodoin International Chamber Festival, and as a soloist with the Johnson City Symphony and the Santa Fe ESSO. Currently, she resides in Waldo, where she also teaches viola and coaches chamber music, both online and in person. And that concludes this Rural Joyce recital at Johnson County Community College in the Polsky Theater of the Midwest Trust Center with violist Jesse Yukimura and Shelley Armour. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live. Chuck Smith is our recording engineer. He recorded this in the Polsky Theater. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. That was a 2007 recording by Kansas Public Radio of the Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. And the piece was by Mendelssohn, sometimes called Mendelssohn's Fingal's Cave or the Hebrides Overture. He was inspired by it during a trip to Scotland when he was young. This is Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Thanks for joining us for Classics Live. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. We are Kansas Public Radio from KU. We're on KANU and KANU HD1, serving Lawrence through 91.5 FM. Plus the same product on KANH and KANH HD1 for the Emporia area through 89.7. Same for KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg, Junction City, Abilene, 91.3. And down south, it's KANQ Chanute, 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Leaders from NATO countries are descending on Washington, D.C. ahead of a three-day summit, which starts tomorrow. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, it's the 75th anniversary of NATO's founding, but ongoing concerns about Ukraine and American politics are hovering over the event.
Ukraine is likely to dominate this year's NATO summit. The 32-member alliance is expected to announce new initiatives to shore up support for Ukraine, more weapons, training, and funding. This has taken on more urgency this year over concern that former President Donald Trump could retake the White House. There's talk of Trump-proofing or safeguarding the alliance. During his last time in office, Trump threatened to undermine the alliance and curb military aid and training for Ukraine unless the other NATO members increased defense spending. NATO members will also have an eye on President Biden, who has faced calls from some in his own party to end his campaign and is scheduled to hold a press conference on Thursday. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
President Biden, meanwhile, continues to say he's not going anywhere, essentially defying members of his own party to challenge him at the Democratic National Convention next month. Biden was in Pennsylvania over the weekend, called into a morning talk show today to say he didn't care how many so-called big names in the party urged him to drop out of the race. He said he intends to stay till the end. Biden's poor performance at his debate with presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump alarmed many in the Democratic Party. Much of the western U.S. is experiencing brutal heat, shattering records in some spots. Today in Death Valley, California, temperatures are forecast to hit 126 degrees. South of Death Valley is the town of Baker, where Steve Futterman reports it's just modestly cooler.
Baker, California, usually doesn't get as hot as Death Valley, but it's often a close second. The town, which is primarily a refueling stop between L.A. and Las Vegas, boasts what he calls the tallest thermometer in the world, 134 feet. And in the afternoon, people were trying to deal with temperatures which eventually topped 120 degrees.
My advice is to stay indoors. Keep your pets indoors.
Donna Dunley is accustomed to extreme temperatures, but not this hot.
Hydrate yourself. Don't go to Death Valley.
Many cities are facing extreme temperatures, including Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and Phoenix. The forecast here calls for higher temperatures later in the week. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Baker, California.
The remnants of Hurricane Beryl, now Tropical Depression Beryl, continue to drench parts of Texas today. Beryl came ashore early this morning with still fairly powerful winds, knocking out power to more than 2 million homes and businesses and flooding streets. Two people were killed. Stocks bumped to a mixed close today. The Dow was down 31 points. The Nasdaq closed slightly higher. This is NPR. A tight housing market dealing with the twin troubles of high home prices due to a shortage of houses on the market, along with higher borrowing costs, continues to hit the home market for a third straight year. National Association of Realtors says sales of previously owned homes fell during the March through May period from the same period a year ago, with the June numbers pointing to another down month as well. Non-alcoholic beers, wines, and cocktails have become commonplace in many bars, restaurants, and grocery stores, but should sales be restricted to adults? NPR's Ping Wong has more.
A new opinion piece in JAMA Pediatrics suggests that non-alcoholic adult beverages should still be limited to adults over 21 years old. Molly Bodring with the Stanford Prevention Research Center co-authored the op-ed. She's concerned that non-alcoholic wines and beers, also known as NA beverages, could introduce children to the taste and names of popular liquor brands, which are increasingly making non-alcoholic options.
That then increases the likelihood of purchasing from that producer in the future, but actually purchasing the alcoholic product.
She says those concerns are emerging and not well studied so far. More data is needed. Still, she says putting age limits on NA beverages would help keep these adult-themed products away from kids. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Yesterday was forecast to be the busiest travel day ever at the nation's airports, and given the number of passenger screenings by the Transportation Security Administration, that was not just hype. TSA says they screened more than 3 million passengers. That's the most in a single day ever. 8 of the 10 busiest days in TSA history have come this year. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Carla Itzkovich, whose gift in memory of Moises Itzkovich, founder of the Moises Itzkovich Foundation, helps provide public radio news and information to communities around the world. This is NPR.
Pianist Ron L. Bright was the musical director for Sarah Vaughan for many, many years. I'm David Bassey. Ron L. was also a fine composer, and here's one recorded in 1959 by Blue Mitchell, the song called Missing You.
Thank you.
It's the Mack Avenue Super Band, live at the Detroit Jazz Festival. That's the music of Blue Mitchell. Out of the Blue is the Riverside release from January of 1959, with Benny Golson, Wynton Kelly, Paul Chambers, and Art Blakey. Ron Albright's Missing You. Well, let's go to Detroit, shall we? A band led by Christian McBride in the song Test of Time.